Man, you guys come to church with energy. Thank goodness for my hotel waffle this morning. It fired me up. Well, the first good news is I'm here. I tried to come last year and I spent 3 hours Saturday night, 1 mile from my house in a snowstorm, stuck with everything closed. At about 10 p.m., I finally called Jack and was like, Jack, there's no way, man. I'm not coming. You got to figure it out. I was with Jack Wednesday in Phoenix at his daughter's graduation, and we're looking at the weather, and snow was forecast for this weekend. And sure enough, 4 inches at my house. So he said, we better come Saturday night, just in case. And the interstate was closed because of a massive fatal traffic accident, which is, you know, horrific. So we ended up taking Highway 50, and Jack, are you going to make it this year? I'm like, I am making it. You know, it's one of those, you may have heard this before. Like sometimes when we talk about the will of God, like, oh, it's an open door. And sometimes we just feel like the will of God is like the easiest path to go. And I think sometimes the will of God is there's the door, it's closed, and I want you to kick it open. And I feel like I've been kicking open a door to get here. So either I kicked open a door or this isn't God's will for me to be here. It's one of the two, but let's just call it God's will because I'm here, you're here, and what a good morning to be with you. I don't know if this is really good or not, but Jack asked me the other day, like, are you ready? And I go, you know, I think so. It'll probably be unpolished, authentic, and hopefully helpful. And Jack goes, you're spot on all three. I'm like, okay, Jack, so you think I'm unpolished and maybe helpful. So Jack thinks I'm authentic. So we're gonna go with that. But here we are, a little bit about me, because I don't too often talk to a bunch of strangers. So let me just tell you a little bit about me. I apologize. My resting face can appear a little grumpy. I promise I'm not mad. I'm having a good time, and I'm glad to be here. I have pastored in the mega church. I lived in downtown San Diego for 10 years doing a home church network. I stumbled into becoming the executive director of Children's Heritage Foundation, which does humanitarian development all over the world. It's where I met Jack and his wife, Jelaine, and was part of their adoption story of Daphne several years ago. I'm also part of an organization that takes 12 men trying to sort out their midlife crisis to Portugal. We walk the Camino Santiago every year. We do that in October. And then somehow I have to get paid. And so I also try to infiltrate the workplace and try to secretly tell people how to follow Jesus without saying the words, follow Jesus, and do business in a more beautiful, authentic way. I have 3 kids, and I brought my favorite one with me. And so this is Nora. And so Nora's my youngest. You're only clapping and laughing because you know you play favorites too. But we only say that when our kids aren't here. Thank goodness all the rest went to kids ministry this morning. And you're never going to know when I blend from like intro to actually talking about things I care more about. But I set out years ago to create a life that was really hard to explain. I just didn't want to say I do this. And I think I accomplished that. And so I get a lot of questions from people that I meet. One is, how do you get paid? And I say, well, I work. But one of the questions I get is like, hey, could I do that? And that question's always related to like, could I go overseas and spend a bunch of my time in like developing countries and working with people? Like, you could, but also keep in mind that's like 20th of my life. I mean, you're only seeing the coolest part of running a nonprofit. What you're not seeing is the hours I will spend next week putting together the 990 form for the IRS. You could do that for me. But they don't want to do that. But you could. You can do your own story and do your own thing in your own way and really embrace this life of Jesus. It's called living on mission in partnership with Jesus wherever we're called to be, whatever it is we're called to do. And you can do that. That's what you can do. And you can do that. I also get another question, like, what do you really care about? What are you really passionate about? And 2 things relevant to this morning, but also probably nearest and dearest to my heart. One is spiritual and or character formation. I just believe there's no greater need in the church today. Like, we're doing really good at being good church people. I think we just got to keep stepping up our game on being good spiritually formed people inside the walls of this church. And the scripture is laced with that. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. There's a lot of bad trees trying to produce good fruit. I got a friend that says they're super gluing or stapling fruit on their bad tree. Like, we need to become the kind of people that just naturally flow out this good and beautiful life. And so that's spiritual formation. And it doesn't just happen. It takes a little bit of effort, you know, a lot of work from God, maybe a tiny bit from us. And then also, I just love living life with love God with all your heart, which is what you desire, all your soul, that'll take too long to talk about this morning, all your mind, that's the things you think or believe, all your strength, that's this physical body, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no more beautiful, exciting way to live life than giving yourself to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then loving those around you as yourself. I also get asked, what about the Bible? What do you think about the Bible? Well, I think a lot of things about the Bible. But let me tell you a couple of verses I love. And you got these journals and you got a lot of pages, so you can scratch anything you want down here. But I love Psalm 1. If you need a psalm to camp out on, like camp out on the first phrase of Psalm 1. Blessed is he who delights in the law of the Lord. Okay, study it. Okay, memorize it. But become a Bible delighter. And if you read the rest of that psalm, it's like you're going to be blessed for it. And then Psalm 23, sadly a psalm that was co-opted for people on their last breaths of life. Really, it's a vision for life in the kingdom of God. The Lord is my shepherd. He's guiding me. I'm following him so much so that I can, you know, go between by streams. I can lay down in the grass. He's restoring my soul. And that whole second half is no matter what's going on in life, his presence is with me. So much so that as I'm walking, I'm leaving this aroma or trail of goodness and mercy behind me everywhere I go. It's so beautiful. I love Colossians 3. I think I could argue, I might be wrong, don't write this in your journal. I think I could argue it's Paul's attempt to maybe re-paraphrase the Sermon on the Mount. And in that Colossians 3, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Well, just embrace that for a second. Because this is who you are, this is the life I want you to live. Clothe yourself with these things. Shed yourself of these things. Not a list of do's and don'ts. It's just, this is true to your identity. Be this type of person because you're chosen, holy, loved. And then one last one, this kind of gets us to this morning. Kind of a life verse for me, but an unusual life verse. It's 1 Timothy 6:12, and it says this, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, there's a lot to talk about here, but I'm going to hone in on a couple words because we could talk about who are these good witnesses. We could talk about fighting the good fight of faith. And please, that doesn't mean go fight people outside of the faith. That means fight to keep in line with the way of Jesus. This is going to take some work and some effort. So we don't need to fight people outside of our belief or outside of this religion. Really, it's just take hold of. The phrase take hold of, and if you have a study Bible, they're going to interpret that most frequently as claim the full benefits. How much do you love that? Like, don't sit on the sidelines of following Jesus. Let's take hold of this and claim everything it is that the Lord has offered us as followers of Christ. I want to take hold of that. Now listen, everyone go like this, because if you're going to take hold of something, right, you're going to clinch onto it. To take hold of something new, what do you first have to do? Yeah, you got to let go of the things that maybe you're clenching onto that aren't so great. So if I'm going to take hold of this new diet, I got to let go of eating, well, basically everything I eat. You know, so if I'm going to take hold of this way of Jesus, embrace and claim the full benefits, there may be some things in my life that are hindering that. Like the scriptures say, throw off everything that hinders and run the race, those type of things. And so this morning, I want to share three convictions I have in terms of, and this is where my heart beats, with loving your neighbor or caring for the least of these for the sake of all of us being raised up in the way of Jesus in good and beautiful ways where we become the kind of people that naturally live the way of Jesus. And so I think there's a lot, but I'm going to share three things that I think would be really helpful if we could let go of so then we could take hold of this good and beautiful way of Jesus. So there's three convictions I have. The first, I think we need to let go of this, is like, we just don't need to overthink and strategize so much. One of the questions I get a lot from people, you know, if you come to Uganda with me, we charge $3,400. That's a lot of money, right? But that's your flight and a safari and whatever. And every once in a while, someone will say, wouldn't it just be better if I gave you the money instead of came overseas with you? Now, my first gut response when I get my negative, critical, like, resting face, I'm like, You know how many people that have asked me that question have ever given me the money? That's a big fat goose egg, right? Zero. And guess how many of those people that asked that question also came? I think it's also zero. But more importantly, what that $3,400 can't do is it can't get down into the dirt, get down on one knee, take a little kid that's never felt the human loving embrace of another person and give them a hug. That cash can't hug another person. That takes a human to demonstrate tangible love to another person. And so sometimes I think we get so caught up coming off the interstate, off ramp, a person's got a sign asking for some money, and how many things start rolling through my mind? Am I just enabling this problem? Is this just going to let this person get me? Like, oh my gosh, like what's going on, right? Or the church has this idea and this hope, and we're going to have like 35 committee meetings to see if we should do this thing or not. And guys, I know the Bible talks about wisdom. I know the Bible talks about counting the cost. I know the Bible, there's a great book that says when helping hurts, we should be doing things well and wisely. But listen here, I'm talking about living a life of Jesus with an open, interruptions allowed. If you've never heard that phrase in the way of Jesus, you need to study Jesus' stories. Every single cool story of Jesus, he was on the way to do something else. And then he's like, oh, maybe I'll do this now. Like eyes wide open, ears wide open, attentive to what's in front of me, interruptions allowed, living and loving my neighbor in the wildest kind of way on this planet. So yeah, there are times to strategize and to think and to plan, especially as a church, as an institution, as a family with your finances. But I also want you to let go and say, man, if this is in front of me and I see it and I feel it, I just want to do it and release the outcomes and whatever somebody does with that to God. And this is what I want to do. So that's number one, simple. I want to let go of overthinking, over-strategizing. Number two, I think we just need to let go of the need for it to be big. I mean, bigger is not better. It doesn't need to be big. It doesn't need to go viral. It doesn't need to be known by anybody to be significant. We don't have to put on our church t-shirts to go clean up the neighborhood to make sure everybody knows that we go to Covenant Grove Church to say, this is us doing this, and so come. No, it doesn't need to be any of that. If you're going to live the way of Jesus, embracing that, we need to let go of the need for it to be big. I have a neighbor. I just moved 2 weeks ago, so I don't anymore. But I had a neighbor. His name was Jason. He's my age, about 50. And this is a troubled dude. And he is, he's just made probably 45 years of poor decisions. And so I just made it my mission, without really even thinking about it, every time I saw him, I'm going to pause and say hi and listen. He was usually drunk, usually high, backed into one of my cars pulling out and didn't have any insurance. I mean, the list goes on of the chaos. And I was at a store in Truckee where I live. It's a small town. Jason walks in. He's fighting with all the workers there because he's trying to steal something. And I broke that up. And then, you know, several months later, after living next to Jason, I'm in another place in Truckee, and I'm talking to someone where I live and telling them my name. They're like, you're that Steve. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? He goes, Jason can't say enough about how you saved him from committing suicide, how you're the only person that ever stops and listens to him. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. Like, all I've ever done is just pause for 1 minute and listen to the guy. Now, other than the fact that I just told you that, nobody would ever know about that. Not big, not viral, it doesn't matter, but let's live in the beautiful way of Jesus. And I just feel like we need to let go of this need. If it's going to be significant or count, it's got to be big and make a big splash, and so let go of that. And then the last one, I just don't think you need to go far. As much as I'd love you to come with me overseas, you don't need to go overseas. You don't even need to go downtown Modesto. You don't need to go to San Francisco. I mean, the opportunity to love your neighbor, serve the least of these, is sitting next to you in this room, probably. When I lived downtown San Diego, I got to know a girl named Chantel, and she was living on the street. She was a prostitute, probably trafficked. Chantel never remembered me, ever. But I saw her all the time and talked to her, and she would borrow my phone. And one time, it was evening time on a weekend night, I walk outside, go around the corner, and I didn't know who it was at the time, but there was a young lady, like, curled up in a ball against the building, crying. So I went and sat down next to her. Now, this was 100 yards from my front door, so I didn't go very far. And I sit down, and she looks up, and it's Chantel. And I'm like, Chantel, are you okay? She goes, how do you know my name? I was like, I've talked to you like 100 times. But she went on to tell me how, she was 20 or so, she went on to tell me how a bunch of her high school friends just walked by here on her way to a club, saw her, remembered her, recognized her, and made fun of her. And I had a moment. It was a moment, guys. Second, sitting there, just telling her, I love you. It's going to be okay. Do you need anything? She said no, but we sat there together. And so, you know, you don't need to go far to love your neighbor. You don't even need to pray for opportunity. You need to pray to notice the opportunities that are sitting in front of you all the time. I mean, there's this great story told in Luke chapter 7 when Jesus is on the way. There's this funeral or this wedding procession. Jesus raises this child from the dead. And most of us are going to focus on that miracle that this child was raised from the dead. And what we miss is that Jesus was in a town and he noticed something and he acted right there in that town. And so you don't need to go far. Modesto is going to be ripe for opportunity to love your neighbor. And so we need to let go of this need to go find the lowest hanging fruit or go into downtown San Francisco or to sign up for a mission trip overseas. All those things are beautiful, life-changing. You should do it. But I'm saying, as a daily way of following Jesus, let go of those things. And it's like, it's right here for me. Right here. Now, if we're going to let go of the need to think, strategize, plan, let go of the need for it to be big, let go of the need to go far, what are some things we can take hold of to help with that? Well, we could do the opposite, right? But that's not what I want to talk about. I don't want to, like, think you're not that intelligent. But I want to offer three practices that I think are super helpful for me and when I think about these things. Number one, have y'all heard about the practice called the daily examine? I'll tell you how I do it. The daily examine is an ancient practice where you're really trying to cultivate an awareness of God in your life and what he's inviting you into all day, every day. And so the daily, you know, some period of time, a day, and pick a time. Let's say you pick 5 o'clock every evening, and you just spend a minute evaluating the past 24 hours of your life. And you ask some simple questions. Where did I hear the voice of God in my life over the past 24 hours? Now, some of you might say, well, how do you know? I'm going to say, well, just say it is, right? Don't overthink it. Don't overstrategize. Was that my pizza? I don't know. But like, if you felt it in your gut, if you felt it in your heart, felt it in your mind, let's just say that was the voice of God. Then you ask the question, what was I being invited into? I think it's pretty clear. I saw this person. Well, for me, I'll tell you what I do most often. I'm driving. You should call your brother. Oh, that's God telling me to call my brother. That was what I was invited into. And then the third thing, how did I respond? I called him. That's it. Not how did it go. I called. Or, man, I felt like God asked me to call my brother and I didn't do it. And so when you start doing that practice, I promise you, you're going to start being more aware of what's going on around you and act more frequently in the simplest ways. Like, oh, I saw my neighbor's trash can unrolled up on Tuesday evening, and so I grabbed it and rolled it up when I rolled mine up. Well, what does that matter for the kingdom? I don't know. She loved that person, and that mattered. And so I think you're going to see opportunities. You're going to start to identify it. And it's going to give you reason to celebrate frequently with what's going on around you all day, every day. That was the easiest of the three. We're going to kick it up a notch. This next one gets a little more difficult. I think you need to embrace and to take hold of and do your best to connect with someone that offers nothing in return. If you start to evaluate your day, like where you work, what you do, relationships are so transactional. Like, I'm going to do this for you because I hope you do this for me. And I'm going to encourage you to connect with someone that offers you nothing in return. I'm going to ramp up a little bit. Who's also not really like you. If all humans are created in the image of God, the more diverse we get to know people, the better picture of the God that built this universe we understand. And if you really want to go to doctoral level, invite that person over to your house. So you're going to connect with someone unlike you, a total stranger. Get to know them, invite them into your house. And what this does, even if that piece never happens, you start to walk this city, this state, this planet, noticing people in new and beautiful ways. Rather than, well, I could go on and on here, guys, but I have with my friends, we have a We live by this thing that says, if you want to talk about this issue, you have to know that person. Right? So let's just pick undocumented people living in our state. If you want to talk about immigration, you need to know by name, personally, someone living here that's undocumented. Otherwise, it's just an issue to talk about. I want to personalize this, humanize this. Now I'm talking, you know, now I'm talking about Frederick, not just immigration. And listen, you might not change your belief, your stance, your position at all, but you know what's going to change? Your posture and your tone. And so I'm inviting you into this way of, look, most stories of Jesus that we love were about people that he shouldn't be talking to in places where he wasn't supposed to be. Right? And so this is what I'm inviting you into here. Connect with someone that offers nothing in return, and perhaps someone not like you, and then connect them even more relationally than it's probably even real comfortable for any of us. And this last one, I believe this one is the hardest because, it's just challenges. Like, we're supposed to have it together. We're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be like, but this last one is, I think we need to embrace the ability to say yes. Now, what does that mean? If I'm going to love my neighbor, somebody has to say yes to being the neighbor. If I'm going to love the least of these, somebody had to say yes to being the least of these. And everyone in this room in one context or another is a neighbor and is a least of these in some situation in their life to somebody else. But guys, I tell you, like, you read the story of, like, the guys carrying the mat up to the roof. And we all want to carry the mat. None of us want to be the person need on the mat. That's just not our American way. We want to lend a hand. We want to help. We want to be the strong person. But every single one of us needs to say yes to someone trying to love us or serve us or help us in some way. Let me tell you a story. Last year, I was on day 7 or 8 of the Camino, coming down this really steep hill. I had this, y'all know what the Camino is, by the way? And I got this horrific case of shin splints. I mean, I was in, it was probably the most painful thing I've ever experienced, and I've been hurt a lot. And so I'm coming out, and I was limping. My leg was swollen and red, and we were in this one-hour walk of total silence. So our whole group was spread out by myself, and I mean, I was just dying. Well, when I was packing in my, like, let's pack light and be tough, I decided to leave my hiking poles at home. That's dead weight. I don't need those poles. So I'm hiking. My shin splints are killing me. And I'm like kind of chewing myself out for not bringing my poles and wishing in this moment I had my poles. And my friend John comes up behind me and breaks the silence and says to me, hey, I noticed your leg is killing you. Do you want one of my poles? No, I'm okay. Like without hesitation. And I'm limp, like, ah, I'm like, I'm okay. And he's like, dude, I like, and we're close friends. He's like, yeah, I don't need this pole at all. Like, take this pole. I got this, man. I don't need your pole. He goes, okay. And starts going in front of me because I'm limping and going slow. And he's, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And I'm like, John. And in this moment, I like broke down. I started crying. I'm like, what's my problem? I was wishing I had a pole. My angel John comes up with an extra pole. I refuse the pole. Because I'm too proud, I'm too stubborn, I'm too strong, I don't want to show that I need or that I need help or expose any weakness, but I'm the only one because John saw it like that. And so I said, John, I'm sorry, man. I need your pole. Thanks. And guess what? It helped. Like, it was better. Like, if I just swallow my pride, take the help, like, oh, this is so much better. And so to release that, like, I got it all together, and embrace, sometimes I just need to say yes to someone else trying to love me, their neighbor, or to love me, the least of these, in that moment. But check it out. I'm asking you to take hold of, like, this idea of the daily examine. I'm asking you to take hold of connecting with someone with nothing in return. I'm asking you to sometimes, probably lots of times, truthfully, to just be a person that says yes to that neighbor around you trying to love you. It's not a small ask. That's not a small ask. I know how the American church is organized. I know American Christianity, how it's organized. I know what it means to be like a tough, strong man or woman in this country. And that's not the life Jesus or the way Jesus invited us into. And I'm inviting you this morning to embrace the way of Jesus in a new and beautiful way. I want to be people that can laugh, that can loose their grips on those things that may hinder us, and then fully embrace this way of Jesus. And you, me, we're perfectly capable of doing it. We've got everything we need. It says that Jesus has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We can do it. We're perfectly equipped. And I believe that God is with you and for you as you follow in this good and beautiful life in Christ. And so here's what I want to do. I invite you to stand up. Have the band come back up. This is the easiest way to get a response. Ask you to stand up ahead of time. But just for a moment, listen, if you're new here, like I am, and you have no idea what I'm talking about, like, who's Jesus, you got to find one of the pastors here and talking about that. I'm leaving this afternoon, and I want you to have a longer conversation with someone about that. But if you've been here a long time, you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, here's my invitation to you. I want you to lift your hands out like this and open them. And maybe it's nothing I said. Maybe just sitting here, you thought of something else. It's like, this is what I need to let go of, so I can fully take hold of the way of Jesus. And so I want to just give you like 15 seconds to just hold those hands open in silence and just listen to the Lord here together. And church, as your statement says, you want to be fully devoted followers of Jesus, as do I. And so let's take those hands and grip them tight together and say, this is what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. And if you could, why don't you just put those hands right here in your heart, because I just want this to be near and dear to your heart like it is to mine. And Father, thank you for the gathered church here this morning. Thank you for your bride, this beautiful bride here in this very specific place in Modesto. Would you continue to fuel and energize this body and the individuals that make up this body into the good and beautiful life that you've invited us into, that you've created for us. Even when we stub our toes or when life is tough, we are blessed. We are okay. We are well off. We walk with you, Jesus. We do it in community here together. Would you give us all a big hug, God, and encourage us in this way that you invite us into? In your name we pray. Amen.